Welcome to Coffee with Jesus, Episode 4. Failure is not an option. Or is it? Now wait a minute, you're probably thinking to yourself. Why would he talk about failure? Coffee with Jesus is supposed to be an uplifting and encouraging podcast. Why talk about failure? Well, in the world of podcasting, they say, speak to what you know. And when it comes to failure, you're looking at an expert. All right, maybe not. But the truth is, failure is not necessarily a bad thing. I know it can seem that way. And the truth is, I have failed quite a bit in life, and I'll get to that in a moment. But failure in and of itself is not necessarily bad. Heck, 2020 has been a major failure as an entire year. 2020 has been what I like to call fail-tacular. But that's okay. Failure is okay. Failing is okay. While I joke about being an expert in failure, the truth is I have failed quite a bit in life. I've tried starting a business, not once, but twice. And both times, the businesses were a major failure. I tried taking the PE exam so I could attain my professional engineer's license. And again, not once, but twice, I failed the exam. I have had 4 books published. The first 3, total failures. My first science fiction book, it didn't even sell a dozen copies. The thing is, I keep trying. I don't quit and I don't give up. I'm actually working on a sequel to the science fiction book, even though it didn't sell a dozen copies. I'm working on another devotional book to Coffee with Jesus as well. Failure is a part of life. Failure happens to everyone. In fact, the Bible is filled with characters who were complete failures. King David, he was the apple of God's eye. And at one point, while he was at war with somebody else, he spotted a very beautiful woman. This woman was married. And even though she was married, he still desired her. He brought her to the palace, and he slept with her. And as a result, she became pregnant. David tried to cover up his actions by bringing her husband home from the front. However, her husband would not go home. He did not want to sleep in the comfort and warmth of his own bed while his fellow soldiers were out in the field. So David sent a note back with him when he returned. He had him put on the very front lines where he was killed. David had a man killed and stole his wife. Talk about a failure of leadership. The story did not end there, though. David felt genuine remorse. David repented from what he did. He turned away from his sin. And God forgave him and made David one of the most successful kings in the history of Israel. David started Israel's golden age. One of David's line remained on the throne till the destruction of Israel and Judah. One of David's descendants, King Ahab, turned away from the Lord. So the Lord sent Elijah, his prophet, to warn Israel to try to bring them back. Elijah went up against 400 prophets of Baal and won. But after that, the queen threatened to kill him. He turned tail and he ran away. Rather than trust God to take care of him, he turned tail and ran and hid. However, God gave him rest. God provided him food and comfort, and then gave him another assignment. Elijah got back up on his feet and continued to work for the Lord. There's a passage I'd like to read from 1 Kings chapter 19. It's very fitting, I think. It's 1 Kings 19, verses 11 through 14. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountains in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." I think it's very telling that as powerful as God is, he wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. The Lord was in the gentle whisper. The Lord provided respite and rest for Elijah. And then the Lord approached him in a gentle whisper. The Lord allowed Elijah to vent and complain. And then God sent Elijah out for another major task. Samson was another great hero of the Lord. He was one of Israel's judges before the time of kings. Samson was very powerful. He delivered Israel. He killed hundreds of Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. However, when it came to women, that was Samson's weakness. Samson got his strength from the Lord. He got his strength through a vow to never cut his hair. Samson married a woman called Delilah. She was very beautiful and very pleasing to him. It was through Delilah that he had his downfall. Delilah kept asking, "What is the source of your strength and what is your greatest weakness?" And Samson would not tell her. Finally, he got so upset with her nagging and so frustrated, he just made something up. The Philistines came and tried what he said his weakness was, and it failed. So a second time, Delilah came to him and said, "Well, what is it? What is your weakness?" And again, a second time, Samson made something up. And Delilah told the Philistines, and they came and they tied him up. He broke free. You'd think by this point, Samson would know that by telling Delilah his weakness, he would be captured. She would run and tell the Philistines, and they would capture him. But the third time she asked him, he finally confessed, "It's my hair. If my hair were to ever be cut, I would lose all strength." So Delilah went and told the Philistines. While he was sleeping, they cut his hair. And then the Philistines captured him, and he had no strength. They put him in prison. They used him for shows. And he was basically their toy, their plaything, the source of their entertainment. However, God gave Samson a second chance as well. His last great act was to take out the entire leadership of the Philistines. In Judges chapter 16, verses 25 through 30, we can read about Samson's last great heroic act. "While they," that is, the Philistine leadership, "were in high spirits, they shouted, 'Bring out Samson to entertain us.' So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, 'Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them.' Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.' Then Samson reached forward to the two central pillars on which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other, Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it." Three failures. Each one failing in a different way. Each one not giving up. There are different solutions and different ways to deal with different types of failures. In David's case, his failure was his own fault. His actions caused his failure. And I have to admit, I've been in David's position before. I have done things that I regret. I have done things that have caused my own failures. And like David, I repented, and God restored me. However, most failure is not brought on by ourselves. Sometimes it's just really bad circumstances. Sometimes you can try really hard, like Elijah. He was very zealous for the Lord, and he tried really hard. But when the chips were down, he turned tail and red. When I failed my PE exam, it was not for lack of trying. I studied, and I studied, and I studied. In fact, each time, I took a week vacation off of work, and I went to the library every single day with my study materials, and I studied and prepared for that exam. And in spite of all that, I failed. The second time, I looked at what I did wrong the first time, and I focused on the area that I was weak. And again, I took a week off from work. I even had a study buddy who was also taking the exam with me. And we studied, and we studied, and we practiced. And I failed again. Sometimes, we fail in spite of our best efforts. But that's okay. Elijah needed some rest. He needed a respite from what he was doing. And God gave it to him. Sometimes that's all we need. Sometimes we just need a rest. We need a respite from what we are doing. And God will give it to us. God will restore us and give us strength. Sometimes we just need to be patient. Samson lost all his strength. He was captured. He had his eyes put out. He was brought out for their amusement. He endured all of that. And he was patient. And many years later, God gave him the strength. Samson not only got his revenge, but he was able to help his people. The Philistines were oppressing Israel, and in one blow, Samson got rid of the entire Philistine leadership. I mentioned that I had published 4 books, and the first 3 were complete failures. I say they were complete failures because they didn't sell. In one case, I actually lost money. One case, I broke even. And in one case, I sold less than a dozen copies. But I kept writing. In my devotional book, also called Coffee with Jesus, it's still selling. And again, it hasn't made any bestseller lists, certainly not the New York Times bestseller list, but it's selling pretty consistently. Sometimes the way to deal with failure is just to be patient. Just hang in there and wait for your moment. There are different types of failure and different ways to recover from failure. Sometimes, like in some of my cases, it was self-imposed, and I had to go to God and repent for what I had done. Sometimes, in spite of our best efforts, we'll still fail, and sometimes we just need a little bit of rest, and God will give us that rest. He will give us that strength so we can move forward and keep going. Sometimes, we just need to be patient, and we need to wait on the Lord, and God will help us with whatever it is we need to do. Are you seeing a pattern here? No matter what type of failure, no matter how you failed, no matter what your circumstances are, God is always the answer. God will give you the strength, the endurance, patience, the comfort. God will give you whatever it is you need. Failure is not bad. I know people have a lot of anxiety. People have a lot of fear of failing. Failing is okay. If you want a good example of failure, just listen to my first podcast. The audio quality, not very good. This has been a learning experience for me, and each podcast, the audio quality gets better and better. The trick, or the key, to dealing with failure is to not give up and to lean on God. God is great and powerful, but He won't be in the wind. He won't be in the earthquake. He won't be in the fire. God will be that gentle whisper. That gentle whisper that gives us the comfort. That gentle whisper that gives us rest. That gentle whisper that gives us encouragement and the strength to continue. The Bible tells us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, to present our requests to God. I think we should also present our failures to God as well. God will help us through our failures. God will give us rest when we need it. God will give us restoration when we need it. God will give us the patience and the endurance to continue when we need it. Regardless of what it is that you are going through, God can help you. So please, bring your anxieties to God. Bring your failures to God. Bring your requests to God. Reach out to Him. He will strengthen you and sustain you. And He will help you succeed.